Sup my people, Joey here and welcome to episode 2 of Chilling with Joey. Cards have become a very important tool in our lives. They help us move from point A to point B in the quickest and the most surface way possible. However, how do we keep our cards in a good shape so that we can prevent them from becoming money pits and in the future, tend also to give value to these cars that we own? I mean, no one wants to sell off their car for cheap. Here are 10 things every car owner ought to know. Number 1. Your windscreen washer fluid. Well, we take it for granted. I mean, people will take a year or 2 years really not even knowing what is within that tank that holds the washer fluid, but it's very, very key that you keep it maintained. Otherwise, you'll keep old washer fluid in there that will go bad and it will not serve the purpose it ought to serve. I mean, others would actually empty their fluid tanks and leave it empty. I mean, then the next thing you realize, you're driving across a truck or a truck is coming in from a different direction and it splashes water across your windscreen. You try to run those wipers to get the dirt away, but instead you just get to smear everything and worsen everything. I mean, that's the last situation you want to find yourself in, especially if you're on a highway. So how do we make sure that we keep our washer fluid in a good condition? One thing that you ought to do is try to ensure that the fluid level is always up to its maximum point every couple of weeks. I mean, you never know when you last sprayed water on your windshield and you totally empty that tank. So you want to do that every couple of weeks. The other thing is try as much as possible to refrain using water, because when water is in these windshield systems, especially if you're in a country that has very cold weather, chances are very high that this fluid is actually going to freeze and it's going to cause problems within that system. Well, for countries that are probably in the tropical region, yeah, you could use water once in a while, but try to use water that is distilled. Number 2, wiper blades. Well, it is advisable that you get to change your wiper blades at least every 6 months, and at most, I mean, like if you're to take the longest without changing them, should not be more than a year. Well, someone would tell you I stay in a region where it hardly rains and I don't see the reason as to why I should change my blades. Let me let you know. Wiper blades are predominantly made of rubber, and your car spends the day in the hot sun and the night in a cold kind of environment. So your windshield blades tend to experience expansion and contraction, expansion and contraction. With time, the effectiveness wears off. In fact, if you'd like to know whether your windshield wiper is going bad, listen out for things like squeaks and chatters. If you realize that your windshield wiper tends to like skip and leave streaks behind, then that's when you get to know that that blade is bad. So you ought to actually change it. You don't look out for a broken frame. Just look at the joints within the blades. Are they all looking intact? You don't also look out for corrosion, especially within the joints and the claws of the blade. You'd also want to check out for cracks within the rubber itself that gets to wipe against the screen, the squeegee, if I would say. You'd want to look against the squeegee edge for cracks. You'd also want to check how flexible the rubber is. If it feels very stiff, then chances are it's not going to wipe the entirety of the space it has to actually wipe. You might also want to tug that wiper blade a bit just to make sure that it doesn't feel loose. But take my word, try and change those blades every 6 to 12 months. Number 3, tire health. Your wheels are the one thing that keep your car in contact with the road, so it's very important that the health of these wheels is great. You need to check the pressure in your tires every couple of weeks. On average, a tire will lose 1 psi per day, so it's very, very important that you get to monitor your wheel pressure. If you do not have a tire gauge, or if you do not have a tire pressure gauge, you could try and order one online, such that you can use this to check your pressure every now and then. Well, you might want to ask, what is the recommended pressure that should be within my tire? Well, for starters, there's always a sticker at the doorway of your car, and I'm sure many of you have seen it, but really paid less attention to it. This information is very important because this is factory recommended. The type of tire in terms of size and the pressure based on your load. So it's very important that you can interpret the information on these stickers. Because underinflated tires, well, they tend to increase rolling resistance, which in turn uses more fuel, also increases carbon emissions, and also makes your car a driving hazard. So other than monitoring the pressure of your wheels, the other thing you'd want to actually pay close attention to is the tire tread. If your tire tread is low, then that means it's going to be a hazard you driving that car, especially on wet roads, because treads in the tires are designed to push water away from the wheels such that there is a greater contact patch between the tire and the road. If there is a lot of wear on the tire, then you're not going to have a channel that will dispel water. Instead, your car stands a higher chance of aquaplaning. The other thing that you'd also want to look out for is your wheel alignment. And you can tell this if your car tends to either steer to the left or to the right when you let go of a steering wheel on a flat road. Once you realize this, don't even waste time. Just get your car to your mechanic or your auto workshop and have your wheels aligned. Usually, what they'll have to do is just make adjustments to your suspension, and that will improve the alignment of the car. Usually, this happens when people get their car's suspension changed. So the importance of wheel alignment, other than preventing your car steering in a direction that is not intended, is also to improve tire life. Because if you have misaligned wheels, then your tires are going to wear out way much faster than they should. The other thing that you'd want also to make sure you do have is your spare wheel. Because you just never know. Tomorrow you may drive down through your neighborhood and you ride over a nail and boom, your tire is gone. And you're stuck there making phone calls expecting people to come and help fix your car. Yes, if you pay for a service like that, well and good. But if you do not, and that happens to you at an hour when you'd hardly find anyone giving you a hand, then you'd have to do it yourself. Simple DIY. And the process is quite easy. It's very simple, and I'll quickly take you through it. Step number one is that you'll need something to place against the wheels, something like a wedge. If you don't have a wedge, you can pick a brick and place it between the tires. This will prevent the car rolling forward or backwards when you start lifting it. The second thing you'd like to do is loosen the lug nuts. So you'll place in your wheel spanners within the lug nuts and try to loosen them. Then the third thing you'll do is to lift the car. You'd have to use the lift points on the car. Every car has particular points where the jack will work effectively. So you lift up your car, then continue with the process of fully unscrewing the lugs. Try to wiggle the wheel a bit. Wheels tend to stick on the hub, so you have to do a bit of wiggling for it to get off. Once that is done, get the spare wheel, fit it on the hub, align the holes for the lugs, then screw them back in. Try to make them as tight as you can without exerting a lot of pressure to shake the car. Lower the car, then tighten the lug nuts just to make sure your wheel never gets off as you drive. Then the next thing you would want to do is try to get your wheel patched up as soon as possible. Number four, your engine oil. As we all know, oil is a lubricant, and your car to run needs oil because it has very many moving parts, right from your engine itself to the gearbox, the differentials, and the wheels. So you'll need change oils frequently. But the one thing as a car owner, the one thing you'd want to do is frequently check your engine oil. And how do you check the level of your engine oil or the quality of your engine oil? You'll simply pull up the dipstick. It usually has a yellow handle that you can actually pull the stick out with. You'd want to do this when the car has been parked for a couple of hours so that the engine cools down and the oil levels out. Make sure your car is parked on a leveled surface. Pull out the dipstick and look at the level at which your oil is. If it's below what is recommended, it is very important that you get to top up. And usually, if you notice that your oil level drops frequently, then possibly you have a worn-out gasket or broken seals, and you'd want to have that fixed or replaced. But as a quick fix, you'd want to keep topping up that engine oil, just to make sure your engine is not starved of oil. Otherwise, you stand a chance of starving the engine of oil, thus creating friction and having your pistons or your engine expand and eventually cease, turning your engine into a brick. To look at the quality of your oil, usually engine oil is actually a color of golden yellow. Bad oil tends to look brown or black. So once you see your engine oil heading to that direction, then you'll quickly have to change it out. The one thing you'd want to do is work with high performance oil that gives you longer periods between engine oil changes. Otherwise, it's always advisable to change it every 3,000 to 5,000 kilometers. Number 5, coolant. Many people tend to undermine the purpose of coolant in a car. Coolant is the fluid that you'd actually run through your radiator, engine, and your gearbox, and eventually cools it. Always use coolant. Do not use tap water, because tap water does not have the best properties to effectively cool your engine or your gearbox, if I would say. Water boils faster at a lower temperature than a coolant, and in the winter you stand a risk of having water freezing within your engine blocks. Coolant is formulated in a way that prevents quick boiling or even freezing in extreme weathers. And also, water, unlike coolant, tends to have properties that speed up the process of corrosion. I mean, the last thing you'd want is corrosion within your engine. Number 6, jump starting a car. I mean, this is a skill every car owner ought to learn. It is one of those basics. If you do not know, you'll probably get screwed in one way or another. The last thing you'd want to happen to you is you getting in your car, starting it, and it just won't start because it has a bad battery, or the battery is actually drained. And the best you could do is actually get your neighbor or a friend that you know, or any stranger that is nearby that is willing to help, provide you with the ability to use their car to jump yours. So as a rule of thumb, try to make an effort that you always have a set of jumper cables, such that if such a situation happens, you don't find yourself in a situation where you have to look for both jumper cables and a person to help you jump your car. And when you get jumper cables, try to get cables of a gauge that would fit your type of car. The last thing you'd want is having small gauge cables for a big SUV, because you're just going to burn them out. They won't work for you. And when jumping your car, you have to do it in a specific order. Otherwise, you stand a high chance of blowing up components in your car or even in the car that is actually helping jump yours. So how do we get to jump a car? Step 1 would be to make sure that the car that is going to help jump your dead battery is switched off. Then, connect one end of the red cable, which is the positive, to the terminal of the stalled battery. Then connect the other red end of the red cable to the terminal of the good battery. Then connect one end of the black cable, which is the negative, to the negative terminal of the good battery. Connect the other black end of the cable to a clean unpainted metal surface on the disabled car. Start the car that is going to do the jumping and let it run for about 2 to 3 minutes before you start the dead car. Once the dead car starts, then get the cables off in the reverse order. Keep running the jumped car for at least 30 minutes to give the battery sufficient time to charge. Also, the health of the battery counts a lot. If you've had your battery for more than 2 to 3 years, chances are very high it's high time for you to replace that battery. And I caution you once again, do not switch terminals, do not put negative to positive, as this will blow your car electrical systems. If you do have some extra bucks with you, then it's very important that you get to invest in a portable jumper starter kit. It's just a battery that allows you to start your car without you requiring another car to jump yours. Number 7, filters. Filters prevent contamination or any dirt entering sensitive systems in your car, so having good filters is paramount. Cars do have several filters. There are 4 filters that you should give attention. The first filter will be the fuel filter. This filter prevents impurities being pumped through the fuel system. I mean, these impurities can actually clog up this system, so you'd have clogged fuel lines and nozzles, and this will actually create a bad fuel air mixture for your car. And eventually you actually have bad performance, loss of power. And on top of that, a bad fuel filter can put a lot of stress on your fuel pump. And the last thing you'd want to do is finding yourself buying a new fuel pump. Another filter that you'd like to pay attention to is the air filter. So just like any human being wants to breathe in clean air, also your cars want to breathe in clean air for them to work well. I mean, air filters prevent insects, dust, particles, sand debris, anything that is an impurity from actually getting into your fuel air mixture in your engine. A dirty air filter reduces the amount of air that can be mixed with your fuel. And with that, you'll actually get bad fuel economy and performance. A clean filter will ensure a good mixture of air and fuel to support the performance of the car. So if you hear your car sputter at some point, or when you try to hit your brakes and it tends to behave as if it wants to stall, or it may stall at some points, then chances are very high that you have either a dirty filter or a clogged mass airflow meter. But the one thing you'd want to pay attention to is that air filter. Another filter that is very important is an oil filter. This oil filter helps reduce engine wear. And how does it do this? Every time your car runs, chances are very high that there's shaving happening within the engine block. And the last thing you'd want is it pumping back all the shavings into your system, because that will actually create more wear and tear of your engine block. Another filter that you'd want to pay attention to is the cabin or the AC filter, which prevents pollutants from actually entering the cabin when you're running your AC. Try to frequently change this, especially if you start smelling kind of moldy air. That's a clear sign that you need to change out your cabin filters. Number 8. Engine drive belts, or if you'd like to call them serpentine belts. These belts actually run a number of different engine accessories, from your alternator, which charges your battery and at the same time provide power to some of the systems within the car. It also powers the AC. It also powers the water pump that helps to cool or run coolant within your engine. If you start hearing some squealing noises from the front of your car, that is due to slippage of these belts or misalignments. So the one thing you'd want to do on a frequent basis is to check out for cracks, chucks, you know, missing abrasions or rib separations. Because if you do not have these things running, then your car will not run fine. Because for starters, you won't be able to charge that battery. You won't be able to cool that engine. You won't be able to use the AC system within your car. And if your car runs a supercharger, then chances are very high it won't be running. Number 9, brakes. Imagine you're driving your car and not being able to stop when you want it to stop. I mean, that is a very terrible point you'd want to get yourself into. How do you tell that your brakes are going bad? If you hear squealing and scraping noises, chances are very high that your brakes are wearing out. Actually, they are designed to squeal. They do have some small metal hairs towards the end of the brake pad, and they've actually been put in there to squeal for the driver to be able to know that their brakes are about to give way and it's high time they actually replace them. You should actually try to replace your brake pads for every 50 to 70 miles or 80 to 112 kilometers. So in within that period or that distance of usage is when you'd actually want to swap out your brakes for a new set of brake pads. Number 10, your headlights and tail lights. Lights are the only thing that enable us to be able to drive our cars in a dark environment, say at night, or in an environment that provides limited visibility. So try to check your lights frequently, if possible, once a week, because you just never know when a bulb will blow out. Let someone stand behind your car while you apply the brakes, so that you can see which bulbs need replacement. If you identify a blown bulb, replace it straight away. For the indicator lights or turning signal lights, turn on the hazard light and you'll be able to identify which indicators are blown out. The other one thing you'd want to do frequently is to check your light alignment. Always get your car lights aligned so that you get to prevent dazzling drivers who are driving towards you or those who are actually driving in front of you. So looking out for your car is not that hard after all, right? I believe so. And with that, we come to the end of this episode. I hope this information has been useful to you and will help you keep your car in a good shape and roadworthy. Find the link of a checklist that would help you track your car's status in the description of this podcast. Until next time, keep safe and remember to always wash your hands. Keep social distance and stay at home. Do not forget to subscribe to my podcast and share. Follow me on my social media platforms, on my Facebook page at ChillinWJoey or on Twitter at Sekono, that is SSEKONO, or my Instagram, which is at Joey Sekono, that is JoeySSEKONO. If you do have a topic you'd like me to talk about, please drop a comment. Stay safe and stay chillin'. Peace out.